Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, March 6th.
I call him Theo Bernie. Maybe to my goddaughter, he's Welo. Maybe to some others, he's brother. But he's my Theo Bernie Sanders.
That, if you don't know the voice yet, was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in October coining the term of endearment or term of endorsement, T.O. Bernie or Uncle Bernie. The Sanders campaign has spent months courting Latino, Latinx voters, leaning into that moniker, T.O. Bernie, organizing soccer matches and house parties that it calls tamales for T.O. Bernie. He has hired Latino staff who number more than 200 nationwide, and advocates say he's campaigning on the right issues. On Tuesday, we saw Bernie Sanders' ground game with Latino voters pay off, as it was the Latino vote that helped insulate him to some degree from Joe Biden's sudden surge. Bernie had 49% of Latino support in California and 39% in Texas, the two states with the most delegates to offer. Those numbers way beat Biden, who had only 19% of Latino voters in California and 26% in Texas. So that's a 2-1 Latino voter victory in California for Sanders. Not quite that much in Texas, but still a substantial win in that group. And it's a meaningful counterweight, right, to Biden's black support. The two candidates, by the way, are splitting the white vote about evenly. In the 2016 general election, according to Pew, blacks and Latinx voters each made up about 10% of the electorate. So their influence compared to each other is similar. With me now to talk about why Bernie is winning with Latinos and whether that's a trend that might continue as the primaries move to more conservative Florida are Laura Barrón López, national reporter for Politico covering 2020, and Marissa Franco, director and co-founder of Mi Gente, a grassroots organization that mobilizes Latinx and Chicanx voters. They've endorsed Bernie Sanders. Laura, welcome back to WNYC, and Marissa, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
So, Laura, I'll go to you first. As a journalist, in 2016, Sanders lost to Hillary Clinton in 10 of the 11 states where Latinos made up a large share of eligible voters. Something has changed from 2016. Can you put some facts and figures on it?
Yeah, so Bernie's campaign will say that they realized too late that in 2016 they had some sway with Latino voters, that they caught some traction with them even in 2016. But they didn't have the infrastructure. Everything was happening so quickly in 2016 that they were playing catch up. And so now they had the time, they had the resources, they had the money, and they realized that they were going to invest early on in reaching Latinos. And so they did it even in Iowa, which had a sizable Latino population. They put money on the ground there. They put boots on the ground there. They decided to hold like events that you referenced in your intro, Loteria nights, soccer tournaments within the community. In Nevada, they spent millions, the campaign said, to reach Latino voters. And they were on the ground early, about 8 months out or so. So this is something that they decided they were going to change early on, and they've been sticking with it ever since. And you saw that it helped keep make him successful in Nevada, where he dominated, and as well as in California.
Marissa, you want to tell us why your group decided to endorse Sanders this election cycle, and did you also endorse him in 2016?
We decided, we went through a process with our membership, and over 70% of our membership chose Bernie Sanders. I think that part of the reason has to do with his platform that I think is unapologetically progressive and bold. And there's specific issues in his platform that speaks to our folks. And I think the second thing is just the consistency of his message. You often see in these types of races where you go back 6 months, and candidates have a totally different perspective on really key issues. And you can go back 6 months, you could go back 25 years, and Senator Sanders has been consistent. And I think that for Latinos, I think that's very, very compelling, because people are really, I think there is like a question of platform and what's your policy, you know, perspective. But I think people actually also care just as much about, are you somebody who's consistent? Are you authentic? Are you sincere? And I think that's a lot of the reason why our folks opted for Senator Sanders.
Did your group endorse in 2016 in the primaries?
We did not. This is our first ever presidential endorsement.
Laura, for you as a journalist, how important, if to the extent that you could tell, was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's endorsement to Bernie's support among Latino voters around the country and to the results on Super Tuesday?
Well, the timing of it was certainly important. Representative Ocasio-Cortez endorsed Sanders shortly after his heart attack in October, when everyone thought that he was faltering a bit. And there was questions about whether or not he was going to be able to continue. And then she endorsed him and hit the campaign trail with him in California. She held events in Nevada without him, which was actually something that a lot of Latinos on the ground pointed to, because it was a Spanish town hall. The town hall was conducted entirely in Spanish, which was something that was very rare across the different campaigns. And she campaigned without him also in Iowa in certain places while he had to be at the impeachment trial in the Senate. So her being a surrogate for him has been key. What's noticeable is that she wasn't there in Nevada in the lead up to the caucus. She hasn't been on the trail in the last few weeks, actually. And so there's a question of whether or not maybe that could have helped him more in states like Texas. Texas Latinos are different than California Latinos. Latinos are not a monolith the same way Black voters are not a monolith. But her absence was a little noticeable in the last few weeks. Latino leaders said that people, surrogates like Ocasio-Cortez, gave Sanders, quote, barrio cred, similar to, you know, the name that they've given him, Theo Bernie. But it appears as though she definitely helped him across the board with Latinos, but also with white voters in Iowa and in New Hampshire.
Let's take a phone call. Mariella in Savannah, Georgia. Mariella, thank you so much for calling.
Hey, Brian, thank you for taking my call. I miss you guys living in Savannah, Georgia now. I wanted to say that in my heart, I totally support Bernie Sanders. I have followed him for many, many years. But coming, you know, having been born in Chile, in a Latin American country where we had a dictator, a right-wing dictator, I have seen personally how middle-of-the-road conservative voters can be and will be talked into believing that Bernie is a dirty communist. Trump is going to be able to convince middle-of-the-road Republican voters who might have voted for someone like Amy from Minnesota will not vote for Bernie.
So when you cast your vote, are you going to go with your heart? Or are you going to go with your head?
I'm going to have to go to head.
Mariella, thank you very much. All right, Marissa, as a Bernie Sanders endorser, you know that one comes up a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, it's really important to talk about Chile. You know, we've been talking about Cuba and we've been talking about, you know, Venezuela, but we don't talk about the majority of people that are coming to the United States and what are the conditions, and if they're not fleeing socialism, they're fleeing unbridled, unregulated capitalism. And I think it's important to mark that in the Latino experience. And I do think that it's a factor, particularly for people that are coming from countries that have had these experiences. But this is the primary season. This is the time, like, we all understand that whoever the nominee is, we will have to coalesce and support that nominee to beat Donald Trump. But the logic, the whole rationale behind the primary is actually, like, there's room to be able to also vote with our heart. And unless we are able to take that chance, like, you know, one thing that we say is, like, we want elected officials who are going to fight like hell for us. We want elected officials who are going to exhibit the courage that our communities exhibit on a daily basis. And we have to, you know, it's going to take us being able to send that message, because if we don't, if we don't vote with our heart, if we don't vote and actually say what we want, then it actually reifies this faulty logic that the establishment Democrats have in terms of the argument they're making for Joe Biden right now, which, you know, they're saying, oh, he's the safest bet. He's the one who's going to get suburban voters. But, you know, you've seen in your two callers here that people actually, The platform that Bernie's talking about, the consistency of his message, does speak to them. What they're worried about is other factors and how others will react. But it, in fact, is something that speaks to millions and millions of working class people in this country.
Tio in Harlem, you're on the air. Hi, Tio.
Hi, Brian. This is Tio. Yes, I am a DSA member. I'm a Dominicano and a French person. I've been a French socialist since 2003. And Bernie, basically, as a comrade, I will vote for him. I will help him any way I can. And I know many Latino are learning about socialism through the word we are doing as a group. So there is not. We still have a lot to learn from getting the power out of the middle road Democrat, like getting, for example, getting into the county committee of the Democratic Party. Things like that, because every time the establishment tried to take Bernie out, is they do it through the at the ballot box, where the translator are telling the people to vote a certain way. They do it. Basically, there is a lot of corruption happening, and so we Latino, we need to learn about how the Democratic Party works. And so basically, that's about it. And the last thing is about Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Guaido is a socialist. The party he belongs is the Socialist International. He's a member of the Socialist International. So they make me laugh when they come in as like Venezuela, and Trump is putting a socialist in the middle of the when he's doing his State of the Union address.
Tio, thank you very much. As we continue to take your calls and talk to our guests about the strong Latino support in this primary election season for Bernie Sanders, our guests, Laura Barrón-López, national reporter for Politico covering the 2020 race, and Marissa Franco, director and co-founder of Mi Gente, a grassroots organization that mobilizes Latinx and Chicanx voters. They have endorsed Bernie Sanders. Laura, one of the interesting exit poll stats to me was that democratic socialism was seen favorably by about 55% of the voters across the Super Tuesday states, seen negatively by only about 35%. So democratic socialism polled well. And yet Sanders didn't win by an overwhelming margin over Joe Biden among the people who said that. I guess that might go to the electability question. But it is interesting that people, at least in the Democratic electorate, did not seem allergic to democratic socialism as a label. And the policies, Medicare for all, free public college, very, very popular in the exit polls.
That's right. And a big reason that that's happened is because of Sanders, because of his run in 2016. We've seen a dramatic shift amongst Democrats in their appetite for policies like Medicare for all, for forgiving student loan debt. And so there are Democrats who support policies like that, but then are still voting for other candidates. There's ones who support that, but may vote for Biden. And we saw in Super Tuesday that Biden not only won black voters across the southern states, he won college-educated white voters. And for the first time, he actually won white voters without a college degree. Prior to that, in all of the four first states, Sanders won those voters. And we can maybe attribute that to a consolidation that we saw of the moderate candidates behind Biden. Also, turnout was up in Virginia So that actually favors Biden's argument that he could increase turnout. One big thing about Super Tuesday as well is that, yes, Latinos definitely helped save Sanders, and they helped boost him in states like California and in Texas, although in Texas to a lesser degree. But Sanders for a long time has been relying and hoping that he could drive up turnout among young voters. And while he won young voters pretty much across the board, in high numbers, really, in California, we haven't seen an expansion, an increase at all in any of the states that have voted so far. And Sanders even acknowledged this in his press conference this week, saying that he was disappointed, and his campaign is realizing that they need to start reaching out more to older voters across the board.
Marissa, can I ask you about the fact that, at least based on primary election and the caucus vote totals so far, the majority of African-American Democrats and the majority of Latino Democrats are on different sides here, and that's different than usual in 2016 in the primary season. As we referenced earlier, both groups tended to be with Hillary Clinton. Certainly in the general election in 2016, you know, pretty overwhelmingly in both groups for whoever the Democrat is. I imagine that will happen again. But it's different than in 2016. So the coalitions are sort of with white Democrats splitting approximately down the middle, and this gigantic age split, especially in the white community, there's the coalition is sort of Biden has blacks and older whites, Bernie has Latinos and younger whites, but it does put black and brown people on different sides of this, which is unusual. So for you, as a Latinx group that's endorsed Bernie Sanders, how do you see the fact that black and brown people are tending to line up as having different, if not interests, at least opinions or judgments here?
The way I understand it is, I think black voters understand dynamics in the United States and are really waiting to see, are middle-class white people going to support an agenda like Bernie Sanders? And if they will, then we'll absolutely we support it. We just are not sure that they support it. And so to me, it's the vote for Biden is one about, yes, I think particularly about relationships in the South. But I think that there is this element of, like, it's not that people disagree with the agenda. It's that they want to see if other people are going to agree with it. And, like, I think Latinos, it's a very different experience. I think in the Latino community, a lot of people are often asking, why does it matter if I vote? Will anything actually change? And I think that in this election, you have this really, you have one group of people who are like, I just want the safest bet possible that will ensure that we get Donald Trump out of the office. And then there's a big group of people, voters, who are like, I am tired of business as usual. I am tired of this poll-based messaging. I want somebody who's authentic, and I want somebody who's going to bring in real change. And I think that's what you're seeing in terms of this, where, like, oftentimes Latinos are like, what does it matter? And so the Bernie Sanders message, I think, is moving people. And rightfully so. I think black voters are looking at the situation and saying, look, we got to hedge our bets and go for the person that we think is most going to be able to take on Donald Trump mm-hmm. and beat him. So I don't think it's about differences or clashing, like the communities clashing with each other. Everybody is concerned about this, and I think that's how this is playing out. And I think it's important for the Latino community to have this experience, and it's important for organizations that engage the community to be able to accompany this process and to really pull from this, experiences and, like, to be able to, like, move from this that where we can build, because it is a different position that we're in, and we need to be able to build from this and actually show, this is the difference you made in this election. Now, where are we going to go next? What are we going to build for next? What are we going to demand next?
Laura, I just want to get a last thought from you on mm-hmm. the question we were talking about with Marissa about why Latinx voters and African-American voters seem to be lining up, at least in the majority, on different sides in the primary Biden or Bernie, different than in 2016 when both groups went in the majority for Hillary Clinton?
Well, I guess that one thing I would point out is that we haven't seen all Latinos vote yet across the country, and this speaks to what some of your callers captured, which is that the primary on March 17th heads to Arizona and to Florida, and there are sizable Latino populations there, and they may vote very differently. They may vote more in line with Biden because in Florida there are Venezuelans, there are Cubans, and they are Latinos that are not as willing to warm to the democratic socialism that Sanders has been carrying, that mantle that he's been carrying. So yes, there are Latinos in California and in Nevada where there's a big Mexican population who are more in line with Sanders. There are newer immigrants that are more in line with Sanders because of the frustrations over Trump's immigration policies, because of the separations of the family at the border. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that the full story about Latino voters in 2020 hasn't been written yet. And it'll be interesting to see where Latinos in Arizona and Florida fall when it comes to voting between Sanders and Biden.
Laura and Marissa, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to invite you in on the conversation, too. If you've got a question about a national news item, whether it's something you want to know about the election or the Trump administration or anything else you think might fall under the national politics umbrella, give us a call and leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and your question. We'll collect those and keep them in our pocket for when I'm speaking with someone who can give you a good answer. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255, 844-745-TALK. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.